Tell me some about the high school you attended in La Grande.
Oh, I could tell you a little bit about it. It wasn't like it is today, I'm sure, but our high school had two floors and a basement, and in the basement was our study hall and library, and some classrooms were down there also, plus the principal's office was in the basement. What I call the basement is ground level, because it wasn't down under. And then there were two floors above. And in the center of the basement was where they had a small gym, and that was where we held our gym classes and games with different classes, basketball and volleyball and everything, and tumbling. Physical ed was held there in the basement.
Was there a baseball field and a football field?
We had the same field that they have now. At the present school, the middle school, that field was also our field. Mm-hmm. And that was where the boys had their football games against other schools. And the girls used to play against each class. We didn't go from having competition between schools from out of town for the girls. It was just the boys.
How did you feel about that?
That was nothing. It was just one of those things. That was all there was, and you didn't expect anything more. You accepted it. I guess it was just the way we were brought up, that you accepted what you had and didn't even think about not being the same as other schools, which they weren't probably in those days, because we didn't have competition with other towns like the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But we always enjoyed watching their games. Went out of town once or twice. I think through my high school days, I think I attended some games at Baker and then over at Pendleton, but it was kind of hard to travel or get to those things.
So when you did get to those events, did you travel with friends, or would your parents take you to these?
Parents usually took you, or friends. I know my mother was with me at the Baker, at the one that we had up there. And friends took us over to Pendleton, to the one that I went to over there.
How important were social events at the school during that time?
Not as important as they are considered now. It was just part of the school. I don't know. I think there's just too much pressure put on sports nowadays, instead of sticking to your curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of community support?
Oh, to a certain extent. I think the parents and the community supported them fair. Not like they have now,
mm-hmm.
today, because I think parents are more into it now. In fact, I think a lot of them are probably go overboard. My own personal opinion.
And perhaps the parents were not available to come then, not as available with work on the farm or different work on the railroad.
I don't think parents were as involved in the schools as they are now. Today you find parents helping in the classrooms and helping with reading and different things like that, where they were never in the school like that before. I just don't remember parents being involved like they are now.
Can you say more about the physical building, the high school itself? You were talking about the second floor.
Well, mainly the second floor was just all classrooms, and then over in the building next to it, it was an enclosed walkway between the two, so you didn't have to go outdoors to get into the other building. They had an enclosed walkway, overhead walkway, going over to the other building, and that's where they had the girls. Well, some boys took it also, domestic art, which was cooking, and then domestic science, which was sewing. And then in the basement, or down on the first floor of that building, was where the boys had what did they call that? That's where they built things out of wood.
A woodworking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember the correct name for it. But I know they did some beautiful work.
Did they also have auto mechanics classes available?
Not that I remember. It was mainly just the woodworking shop.
Mm-hmm.
Shop, is, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything on the third floor?
They had... Just classes in a kind of an auditorium was on that. Yeah.
Was there a theater in the high school?
Just auditorium. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was more of a multi-purpose
room.
Mm-hmm.
Music room. They used it for music room also. Mm-hmm. Andrew Loney was a music director at that time.
And were you involved in music?
No, I wasn't. I was forced.
Okay.
Yes, should have been involved in music. More to the point.
Were there many students who did participate in more of the arts? Or do you think, as a whole, the school was more involved in athletics?
Well, it was probably about half and half. It wasn't overly done on either. Like they have, it seems like it's more involved in sports this day, to me, anyway. I think it was pretty evenly divided amongst sports and the music department and I think it was more just evenly divided. And also then during the those were depression days too, you know, so things weren't as easily to obtain, and some of the kids went to school half a day and then did on the job training downtown.
Were you involved in any programs like that?
No, I wasn't, but my brother was.
Mm-hmm.
He went to school in the morning and then went down to the radio music supply store in the afternoons and on weekends.
Mm-hmm. So he was still getting paid for that work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was
minimal.
Just in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. But it was the experience that he got from it that was more important, because it was in the radio, you know,
mm-hmm.
Repairing radios and things like that, and which helped him, because he ended up building his own ham station and, down home. And then when he went into the service, that's where they put him, was into the Navy in the radio department.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an instructor in radio and whatever they did at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it all came in handy. They even sent him to school at the Oklahoma A&M College for 1 year while he was stationed in the Navy to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his profession then, eventually.
Oh.
And so, you know, it did turn out the same as going to college to secure a degree in something.
Mm-hmm. When did you graduate from high school?
In 1937.
What
both of us, my brother and I, both.
Graduated in the same
mm-hmm.
class?
Mm-hmm.
What were your plans for?
Oh, to be a nurse, I guess, at that time, because I went into nurses training the following fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in nurses training for 2 years.
And that was in Baker?
Mm-hmm.
So when you got back to La Grande 2 years later, did you work at the hospital?
I worked at St. Joe's Hospital then for about 2 years.
Can you tell me more about that?
Oh, it was fun. Sister it was the Sisters Hospital at that time, St. Joseph Hospital over here where the building is now, the St. Joseph building.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be the hospital at that time. And Sister Patrick used to be the head sister at Baker when I was up there, and in the meantime she had been transferred down here to head this hospital. And when she found out I was back in La Grande, she hired me to come to work up there. So that's where I landed.
What were your responsibilities?
Just a regular nurse on the floor. They had me on second floor most of the time, taking care of the patients, helping take care of the patients.
What kind of patients did you have at that time on the second floor?
It was medical on the second floor and surgery. One end of the hall was medical and one end was surgery. And then there was the first floor too, which was mainly men on the first floor at that time. Once in a while they'd have a man up on the second floor, but most of the time the men were on the first floor and the women were on the second floor and the babies on the third floor.
Do you know anything more about that separation of genders? What was the purpose of that?
No, not really. It was just natural for us, anyway. Thought nothing of it.
So the babies were born on the second floor?
No.
Also, or they were
third.
Born on the third?
It was all, the surgery was on the one end of the building, and then of course, where they had delivered them was on that, all on one end of the building, and then the rooms and nurse's station was on the rest of the building, on the third floor.
Mm-hmm. How large of a staff was required at St. Joseph's during that time?
Oh, there was always a sister on the floor supervising. And then there were usually two or three nurses and an aide.
Did Do you know overall how,
you, you
how large
d-
you
the did
staff
most
was?
Of the work mm-hmm. up here. They have the nurses, but then they also had nurses aides up here that did the bathing and all, but mm-hmm. in St. Joe's at that time you did it all.
You did all of the bathing and,
mm-hmm.
and delivering meals.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any volunteers that helped?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I know they have the pink ladies now, but they didn't.
They had a a gift shop on the first floor, but they weren't out on the floors doing any of the
mm-hmm.
work, like delivering newspapers and things like that, or flowers, and the juice cart like they have up here.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't have that over at St. Joe's at that time.
What
they probably would have eventually.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a shift did you work?
10 hours.
10 hours?
Mm-hmm. 2 hours off. You were on, you were there for 12 hours, but you had 2 hours off for rest.
2 consecutive hours?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do during your time off? Did you have to stay in the hospital,
well,
or could you come home and rest?
At night, I was on nights quite a bit to begin with, and I just went into one of the rooms and got in a chair and went to sleep.
Can you walk me through a typical day in the hospital?
A typical day?
Mm-hmm.
It was just bathing. When you went on the shift, first you had to feed them, get their trays out. It depends on your shift, of course. But normally we were up there at, went on shift at 7:30, and you fed them their breakfast and then put their trays back into the kitchen to go down to the basement. And then you did the bathing and cleaning up of their room and in their beds, changing the sheets and all. And then when the doctors came around, well, then you went with them to the patients to see what the new medications were. And then you headed to the chart room to get all this down. And then if there were any special things that the doctors ordered, you'd have to do that. And then eventually here came lunch, and then you had to take their trays out to the patients and then go back later and pick them up. In the afternoon, it was about the same, and then our shift usually went off, and then the other shift came on. So,
do you recall that the injuries were, if you saw injuries or different cases with the patients? I guess what I'm trying to say is, living in this area, in a rural area, did you ever see things kind of repeated over and over, a certain type of injury or a certain type of illness that maybe you wouldn't see in another location?
No, not necessarily. Not because
kind
of the area.
A community or a farming community, would you see more incidents related to those kinds of work?
No, accident-wise, there weren't a lot of like that. It was mainly surgeries, you know, different types of surgeries, there might be some accidents, but most of them would be from car accidents or something like that. I couldn't say that there was anything that was due to the area.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Baker, I think, used to, a long, long time ago, used to get in some accidents from the mines,
mm-hmm.
But they were closer to, the Baker was closer to the mining area than McGran.
Mm-hmm. And so you stayed at St. Joe's for 2 years?
Mm-hmm. About 2 years, and then the war broke out, And, well, before that, though, I worked for them for 2 years, and then Dr. Gilstrap, one of the doctors at that time, needed a nurse in his office, and he doubled my salary, so I went down there, naturally, mm-hmm. and worked for him for, I guess I worked for him for about the same length of time.
Was and he then the a war. General physician, or did he have a specialty? Yeah.
No, he was just general. Most of them were all general at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They did it all. I mean, they did surgery and medical bowl.
Did he do any house calls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to go with him on the house call?
Oh, no.
You stayed in the
no.
office?
No. They didn't do a lot of house calls, but doctors that during the, oh, from the time I was born until, I don't know when they got to that point where they refused house calls, but they used to all do them, but not to a great extent, but they would, you know, on emergencies, or if someone was just too sick to come in, they would go to the homes.
Mm-hmm. So your routine changed, I would imagine, going to a doctor's office setting. You no longer had the daily care of patients?
No, just admitting them and keeping records.
Mm-hmm.
And doing urinalysis and x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping everything sterile.
Mm-hmm.
But instruments that the doctor might use in the office. It was less work.
Mm-hmm. And more money.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was the main thing. And then I left him and went to work for the railroad when the railroad needed more help over there, and they put on a ladies' crew, and it wasn't what I would call a very fancy job, but it paid a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And you were washing engines.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Keeping them shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about, what, 12, I guess, ladies that went to work over there for that job. And then two of us in that crew, after we'd been there for a while, were offered work in the offices. So we went to work as secretary then in the railroad during the war. And she stayed with the roundhouse department in the office down there, and I worked there for quite a while, and then they opened up a new office on the rip track. And so I went up there to that one and stayed until they abolished the job.
Can you tell me what the roundhouse was?
The roundhouse? Oh, it was just kind of a half circle, you might say. And then the turntable was out in front of the half circle, so it was all round. And it was called the roundhouse, and it had stalls all the way around. In the roundhouse stalls where they would run the engines in over the pits so they could be worked on it underneath or up above, either one.
And so it had an office where you...
They had an office, but it was just outside. It was a separate little building out in front of the roundhouse where the office was. And they had three dental clerks in there.
And what's the responsibility of a dental clerk?
Mainly just, they had, during the war, they had lots of investigations when anything happened on the railroad, accidents or broke down. Then they'd have a big investigation because they were, you know, trying to keep the road running to ship equipment. Back and forth from one end of the country to the other. and it was important to keep them rolling. And so they'd have a big investigation, and you'd have to take all that investigation down and type it up and send it in to the main office in Portland, Albina. And so they just did work like that, and then you kept track of the time also, the hours that each employee put in. Mm-hmm. And that had to be sent in to daily.
Daily?
Mm-hmm. Called it in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To Albina, or else they would call you if you didn't get it there quick enough.
Now, you also mentioned the rip track office.
Yes.
How was that different than the roundhouse? I guess start by telling me what a rip track is.
Oh, rip track is where they repair the boxcars, and anything that needed repaired was sent down there, and then they also painted them when they needed to be repainted. They had a line there that they run them into, and the men painted them too. And I guess that's why they called it the rip track. They tore them up and rebuild them. Mm-hmm. And there was only, I was the only one down there, along with our office down there had the main car foreman, and then two men that were your boss. Mm-hmm. So you had two to answer to.
What was that like, switching from nursing to the railroad?
Kind of exciting and different. Mm-hmm. Kind of scary too, because all I'd had been shorthand and typing in high school, but it came in handy.
And I want to back up just a little bit too to the first job at the railroad, washing the engines.
Mm-hmm.
You said there was a crew of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more about what that entailed?
Oh, mainly just going out and washing the wheels. You know how they get kind of dirty and greasy and grimy or mm-hmm. something, and you had to wash those wheels to make them shiny.
Mm-hmm. Just regular soap and water?
No, they had a cleaner type thing, yeah, that you used, and rags, lots of rags. Mm-hmm. And
did you have gloves and coveralls, or how? What kind mm-hmm. of uniform did you have to wear?
Oh, I probably got it. Of it someplace, maybe amongst this junk, yeah, right there.
Yeah,
it was a dirty job.
I bet it was.
But at that time, you got good wages. And this one here was our foreman, okay. This one over here.
And where are you?
This is me. And this was a lady, a friend of my mother and dad's, and she was working there too, so we worked together. And they chose the two of us to clean up the engine that was taking the president through. So we had to shine it all up. It was really neat.
How long did you do that?
Oh, seemed like I was always working a couple of years and moving on, but mm-hmm. that's the way the world was moving. I worked there probably a couple of years too, and then that was abolished, and when they abolished them, you had to either quit or else go to wherever they wanted you to go, and they wanted me to go to Portland, and I didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So I quit.
So when they abolished the job, then just nobody washed the engines, or they felt it wasn't necessary anymore?
Evidently not, yeah. Mm-mm. It was the end of the war, you know.
So maybe they just didn't have the money anymore to pay for.
Wasn't as important. Mm-hmm. And I doubt they probably still had investigations, you know, from derailments and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or if someone let a flat wheel go through, you've heard them. They do it, yeah. Bing, 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 when the train's running along the track. Well, that's a flat wheel. It caused from the brakes grinding them flat. And you weren't supposed to let them have those because they figured that eventually that might cause an accident, a derailment. Yeah.
So they by keeping lots. All of that equipment clean, you could prevent accidents?
And well, our job, keeping them clean, wasn't pertaining to accidents especially. It was just to keep them looking nice. I don't even know why they ever thought it, because I didn't think it was that important anymore. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, but it was just one of those things that came up during the war, you know.
Did your group have a name or even a nickname that you went by?
No, they might have had lots of nicknames from people. But no, we were just the women of railroaders. Don't remember of any particular name.
Okay.
Some of them, they could have changed clothes more often.
Solid grief is what you were saying before the tape flipped over.
Yeah.
Hard to keep the uniforms clean.
Yeah. But a lot of the men were the same way.
And I see that you kept your hair covered, most of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kept your head. You're supposed to keep your head covered with a bandana and wear gloves.
Did you wear any mask?
No.
Any protection for your eyes or anything like that?
Mm-mm. We weren't around anything dangerous where we would need anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, too, worked and helped out if we weren't busy out on the engines. Lots of times they didn't have engines in where you could wash their wheels.
Mm-hmm.
The gears, they would have you working in the back shop, which is, the back shop is where they turned and rods and made parts that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
It was the mechanical end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had machines back there, lathes, that would cut the things, you know, down and have all kinds of little metal shavings.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us worked in the back shop.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there quite a bit, just sweeping, keeping the shavings swept up from around those machines.
Did the men give you any hassle?
Yeah, there was some that he'd give you a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
But I got along pretty good. Most of us got along pretty good, but there was some of them, of course, that liked to throw their weight around a little bit. But my dad worked down there, too, you know, so I had protection.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it, so they didn't bother me much.
So after the railroad, what kind of work did you do?
Oh, I went to work then for the government. It was a civil service job in the Veterans Contact Office.
And was this an office position?
Mm-hmm. It's still clerical.
Mm-hmm. So did you continue doing clerical work for
some time? Mm-hmm. That was just typing and taking shorthand and typing.
Mm-hmm.
And filling out forms. As you well know, the government has nothing but forms to fill out for any type of job. And so that's what I did then. I worked there for, oh gosh, it must have been in the contact office for a year or two. And then they abolished the contact office, and I transferred up to the education and training office up in the college. It was up there.
In what building?
In the main building.
In Low Hall?
In Low Hall, mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a good job. You had, well, there was two sections of it. One half of the office was education, and the other side was the training. And I had two fellows that I worked for over on the training side. And that was on the job training for the veterans when they came home. And the other was the ones that were going to go on to school, the educational side. And that was a real good job and a real good deal for the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And the contact office was just contacting the veterans to see if they needed help in any way, you know, steering them on the in the right direction, just securing whatever they need, like loans for homes and or dental work, medical work, and most anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do next?
I worked up at the college then for a couple of years or so until they abolished that job, and I would have had to gone over to Bend to continue working for the Veterans Administration. But I had married then about 6 months or so prior to that time. So
what was that date?
Oh, July the 22nd, 1948.
You got married.
Mm-hmm. And when my job was going to be abolished, I decided it was time to just stay home. I could have went to my boss at that time, had contacted a bank, U.S. bank downtown, and had a job for me down there if I wanted it. But I decided I was going to stay home, and I was getting to the age where if you're going to have a family, you better have it. So that's what I did. I just quit working and stayed home.
And did you indeed start a family right away?
Well, I finally had a little gal in 1950, 2 years later.
What kind of work did your husband do?
When I married him, he was a lumber grader over at the Mount Emily Mill at that time. It wasn't Boise Cascade, it was Mount Emily. And he accepted a job. Let's see, we'd been married about 2 years, I guess, and he accepted a job as a traveling lumber inspector with Western Wood Products in Portland. And so he took that job, and we were supposed to have moved to Spokane, but we didn't. We stayed. He kept our home here in McGrann, and he would just travel more to get back to see us.
Mm-hmm. What was your husband's name?
Howard. Howard Morris Peterson.
Okay. Was he born and raised in this area?
No, he was born in Spokane and raised in Wallowa,
mm-hmm.
and then they finally moved up here to La Grande, mm-hmm. went to work for the mill.
Where was your first home when you got married?
Close to the mill. It was on Kew Avenue. It was, if you cut through, it was just about two blocks at the most over across the railroad tracks to the mill. Yeah.
Was it a very large neighborhood that you lived in?
No, not really. It was in the Willow School District at that time. It was the Island City Strip, as we call it. It was just about a block over from it.
What were your responsibilities as a stay-at-home mom?
Take care of your home, and take care of your child, make sure you had meals on time. And usually tended to the yard, quite a bit of it. And can in the fall.
Mm-hmm. And you had done a lot of that growing up, so that probably
yes,
was just
no
second
problem.
Nature then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we went hunting quite a bit too. When seasons came along, we'd go hunting. Mm-hmm. So we usually had our own meat.
Did you hunt for deer and elk?
Mm-hmm. And deer and elk and birds, usually pheasants and grouse and ducks. I didn't especially care for ducks, but he enjoyed hunting them.
Did you hunt locally?
Yes. Yep. We hunted, usually hunted deer in the Medical Springs area or let's see, we used to hunt deer out of Wallowa too, on Day Ridge. It was a pretty popular area and had some nice deer out there and bear.
And did you do all of your own cutting and wrapping?
Yes, we did our own skinning and deboning. Mm-hmm. Took all the bone out of the meat and cut it up and wrapped it. Stuck it in the freezer. Mm-hmm. At that time, we didn't have a freezer at home, but we rented a freezer at one of the meat markets.
Can you tell me more about that, the meat market lockers?
Oh, most of them. They used to have one down on Purr Street that we used, and it was just a separate room in the back end of the meat market, and it had just like a cages for each one. And each one had a separate door on them and a lock, mm-hmm. your own lock and key. Okay. Mm-hmm. But they were all kept real cold. I don't know if they still have it down there or not. I think, yeah, that market went out of business. It was across from the Habitat building, the Holly Habit.
Hobby Habit,
whatever it is called. It was right across from that on the corner.
Did they only sell meat? Or was it a regular grocery market?
I don't think they had too many groceries, but they had, I think they had catering lunches and things mm-hmm. like that they sold out of there and had all kinds of meat. I know they sold, but I don't know how extensive their grocery line was. Mm-hmm. When we were there, it was a regular, when we were using it, it was a regular market, grocery market, mm-hmm. and then a little meat market in there too.
Can you tell me more about some of the other businesses you may have frequented?
Oh gosh. There's not too many, I don't think. Richardson's Art and Gift Shop was a store that I liked to go into because they had all kinds of jewelry and pictures and just pretty things. Gift shop.
Where was it located?
It was in the second block. Let's see, across, where would it be across from? It'd just be about two doors up from where Don's Jewelry Store is now. Mm-hmm. It was in that area between the old Falk's Department Store, which is being repaired, a new building put up there.
So this was right on Adams, on the main street.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was a fun place to go to, and then we had several nice dress shops in the Grand at that time, Ann Johnson's and the Cinderella shop up in the next block had a nice dress shop, and the Top Shop, it was a nice dress shop. Just fun things, I guess.
Did you have any favorite restaurants?
Chinese Mary's.
China Mary?
Mm-hmm. It was an upstairs. It was up over the top of Ann Johnson's, I believe.
What was it like?
Well, you just had to climb up this long, narrow stairway to get to the top of it, and then inside was just booze. On both sides of the room was all booze, and it was ran by Chinese people. They had white people waitressing, and I think Pearl, and the first name of the lady that waited on us all the time was Pearl. I think her last name was Wessensko before she passed away. Pearl Wessensko.
What did the restaurant look like on the inside?
Nothing fancy like they are now. Had a few Chinese things hanging around, you know. It was just a plain old restaurant, but good food.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in town, I think, catered there. It was just a hangout, more or less, especially on paydays.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your favorite dish?
Chop suey, I guess. That's usually what I had. And Denver. What they used to call a Denver sandwich, which was similar to egg foo young.
Can you describe that a little bit more?
It's just a combination, and then to me it's just like scrambled eggs with vegetables and things like that thrown into it.
But it was made onto a sandwich?
Mm-hmm. In patties. No.
Oh, yeah. Made into patty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then did it have some sort of a sauce on it? Or?
Yeah, sometimes they had a little gravy-like that they would put over the top of it. That was good. It was just a fun place to go to, and lots of people went.
Mm-hmm. You said especially on payday, was that...
Railroad payday.
Okay.
My dad, having worked there all his time on paydays, that was a treat. He took Mother and I to Chinese Mary's for dinner. He'd go get his check and cash it, and we'd go there for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd usually get a bag of candy. Or a little bottle for himself.
Mm-hmm. So when you, after you married, did your husband and yourself continue that tradition of going to dinner on payday?
No.
No?
No. No, he didn't. No, Howard just didn't operate that way.
What kinds of things, other than hunting, then, did you do with Howard? After you and
We had a little group that we ran around with, and we usually got together and played cards mm-hmm. on weekends and here in town. And then he belonged to the Elks Club, so we'd go there off and on, the group, especially on their special special celebrations. We always tried to go to them. And then at that time, he also belonged to the National Guard. So they met too. They had regular meetings and parties for the women off and on. Mm-hmm. And so we belonged to those.
Can you tell me about any other clubs that you may have been involved in?
Involved in? Well, just Beta Sigma Phi. I have belonged to that for, it must be getting close to 45 years, something like that. Maybe more. And
what sorts of events happen as a result of that club?
Well, there's Beta Sigma Phi. We just have four chapters in LeGrand now and the city council. And each chapter has their own socializing. And we also do community work. And during Christmas time is usually when we help out with the community, the children that go shopping. Mm-hmm. We usually donate money to that for the children to go shopping. And then we have a Founders Day every year, April. The last day of April is usually Founders Day nationwide. Worldwide, I guess it is now, because they have Beta Sigma Phi all over the world. And we usually have a big banquet for that, and change of officers. Mm-hmm. But it's just a socializing a group, plus some community work mm-hmm. that you have. Well, it's just, I think our chapter is the largest here in LeGrand, and it's just nice to have that feeling that you have sisters out there that you can turn to if you want mm-hmm. to help you.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other organizations that you were involved in that you spent a lot of time with?
No. I volunteer with Home Health Hospice, and I have worked with that for about 10, 11 years now, and I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. You are sent out to give relief to caregivers that are taking care of sick people, mm-hmm. and it's just just a real good feeling.
Now, were you involved in the beginning stages of that when it first started here in LeGrand?
No, it's been in effect for many years.
Okay. Mine, before you started?
Mine has just been since my husband's been gone. Mm-hmm. To fill up the time. Mm-hmm.